The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 18, text number 47, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 15th, 2015, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Apapeshu Sabrityeshu Balena Apakva Buddhina Papam Kritam Tat Bhagavan Sarva Atma Chantum Arhati. Apapeshu Svabhrityeshu Palane Pakva Buddhina Papam Kritam Tad Bhagavan Sarvatma Chantamahati. Apapeshu Svabhrityeshu Balena Pakva Buddhina Papam Kritam Tad Bhagavan Sarvatma Chantamahati. Apapeshu, unto one who is completely free from all sins. Sabrityeshu, unto one who is subordinate and deserves to be protected. Balena, by a child. Apakva, who is immature. Buddhina, by intelligence. Papam, sinful act. Kritam, has been done. Tat Bhagavan, therefore the personality of Godhead. Sarva Atma, who is all-pervading. Chantum, just to pardon. Arhati, deserve. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada, Savior of the whole universe, Ki Jai. Then the Rishi prayed to the all-pervading personality of Godhead to pardon his immature boy who had no intelligence and who committed the great sin of cursing a person who was completely free from all sins, who was subordinate and who deserved to be protected. Purport. Because, rather, everyone is responsible for his own action, either pious or sinful. Rishi Shamika could foresee that his son had committed a great sin by cursing Maharaj Parikshit, who deserved to be protected by the Brahmins, for he was a pious ruler, completely free from all sins because of his being a first-class devotee of the Lord. When an offense is done unto the devotee of the Lord, it is very difficult to overcome the reaction. The Brahmins, being at the head of the social orders, are meant to give protection to their subordinates and not to curse them. There are occasions when a Brahmin may furiously curse a subordinate, Kshatriya, Vaishya, etc. But in the case of Maharaj Parikshit, there were no grounds, as already explained. The foolish boy had done it out of sheer vanity in being a Brahmin's son, and thus he became liable to be punished by the law of God. The Lord never forgives a person who condemns his pure devotee. Therefore, by cursing a king, the foolish Sringi had committed not only a sin, but also the greatest offense. Therefore, the Rishi could foresee that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead could save his boy from his sinful act. He therefore directly prayed for pardon from the Supreme Lord, who alone could undo a thing which is impossible to change. The appeal was made in the name of a foolish boy who had developed no intelligence at all. The question may be raised herein that since it was the desire of the Lord that Parikshit Maharaj be put into that awkward position so that he might be delivered from material existence, then why was a Brahmin's son made responsible for this offensive act? The answer is that the offensive act is performed by a child only so that he could be excused very easily, and thus the prayer of the father was accepted. But if the question is raised why the Brahmin community as a whole was made responsible for allowing Kali into the world affairs, the answer is given in the Varaha Purana, that the demons who acted inimically toward the personality of Godhead but were not killed by the Lord were allowed to take birth in the family of Brahmins to take advantage of the age of Kali. The all-merciful Lord gave them a chance to have their births in the family of pious Brahmins so that they could progress towards salvation. But the demons, instead of utilizing the good opportunity, misused the Brahminical culture due to being puffed up by vanity and becoming Brahmins. The typical example is the son of Shamika Rishi, and all the foolish sons of Brahmins are warned hereby not to become as foolish as Sringi and be always on guard against the demoniac qualities which they had in their previous births. The foolish boy was, of course, excused by the Lord, but others who may not have a father like Shamika Rishi would put into great difficulty if they misuse the advantages obtained by birth in a Brahmin family. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sujivam Sadaitam Savadutam Vadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschanyadeshatarine. So, one does not develop high qualities simply by one's birth. Birth in a pious family is certainly a very good opportunity. Just like if you're born in a family of a high court judge, that is good facility that you can also become high court judge because of that association. But it's not automatic. One has to themselves develop the qualities. Brahman's qualities are described very clearly in Bhagavad Gita. Shamadamastapatchocham chantarava chantarev chantarar, what is it? Shamadamastapatchocham chantararjamamevacha gyanam vijnanamastikyam bhammakarmaspavabhajam. He has sameness, samaha, or equanimity. He's equal both in happiness and distress. He sees friends and enemies equally. That's sameness, equanimity. He's very peaceful, you see. Dhamma means he controls his senses. Shamadhamma tapa, he's very austere. He rises early in the morning. He takes only Krishna prasad. Chau cham, he's very clean. He takes bath 2 or 3 times a day. And Chantar, he's very tolerant. Arjavam, he's very honest. He has theoretical knowledge of Vedas. He studied Vedas very thoroughly. He knows the Vedic wisdom inside and out. And Vijnanam, he knows how to apply that knowledge. This is Brahmana. So where are the Brahmins now? Yes. They say, oh, I'm a Brahmin. I was born in a family of Brahmin, therefore I'm Brahmin. Where are the Brahmin? Where are the Brahmin? A Brahmin means you have to have these qualities, otherwise you're Shudra. Kalau Shudra Sambhava, in this age of Kali, practically everyone is Shudra class. They don't have brahminical qualities. So at least in this Krishna consciousness movement, under the direction of our beloved founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, an attempt has been made to create a class of Brahmins in the world, true, actual, qualified Brahmanas. The Vedic culture depends on a class of Brahmins. There has to be the class of Brahmins. Brahmins are the head of the society. If you cut off the head, can the body live? You can cut off an arm and still live. You can take off the legs and still live. Even you can remove the belly and feed somebody intravenously. You see? But you cannot remove the head. So of all the parts of the body, the head is the most important. So that class of Brahmins, that is most important thing. So our mission in Krishna consciousness movement, ISKCON movement, is that we must create that class of Brahmins. Do you know our mission is actually to conquer the world? I just read this morning, Prabhupada said, if you will simply repeat this knowledge as it is, then you will conquer the world. So our mission is to bring back Vedic culture to this planet. Therefore, we must have a class of Brahmins. So where are we going to get these Brahmins? Are we going to import them from India? We have to become these Brahmins, qualified Brahmins. Therefore, we're giving second initiation, Brahmin initiation. We have to develop these qualities. So every devotee should examine, am I manifesting the qualities of a Brahmin? Am I equal in happiness and distress? Do I control my senses? Am I peaceful? Am I clean? Am I tolerant? Do I have full knowledge of the Vedic wisdom? Do I realize it by my practice? Do I demonstrate my fixity in Vedic knowledge of understanding? You see, we have to be introspective. We have to become these Brahmins. And as Prabhupada points out in his point about conquering the world, repeat it as it is. This is the most important quality of the Brahman. He does not concoct something new. He simply takes the perfect culture, Vedic culture, the perfect knowledge, the Vedic knowledge, and he presents that. That's it. Some people think, well, we have to now adapt it. We have to now westernize our Krishna consciousness movement. But no, we have to Krishnize the West. Yeah. Our mission is not to westernize Krishna consciousness. Our mission is to Krishnize Western consciousness. It's a very important distinction. We want to Krishnize the Western. The Western mentality now is everywhere. In India also, Western mentality. You see? They dress like Westerners. They have music like Westerners, moving like Westerners. Every whole thing is Western culture, Mlecha culture. Whole planet has become Western culture, Mlecha culture. Not the original Eastern Vedic culture. It's all polluted Western culture. Everywhere Western culture. So now we have to make that Western culture, Krishnize it. Mm-hmm. You can take the best of both, Prabhupada explained, just like the lame man and blind man. The lame man on his own, he can't do anything. He has good eyes, but he can't walk. He's lame. He cannot accomplish anything. The blind man, he has good legs, but he can't see. So he can't accomplish anything either. But if you take the lame man and the blind man and they work together as a team, you put the lame man with good vision on the shoulders of the blind man with good legs, then they can work together very nicely. So this is our Krishna consciousness movement, you see. It's the combination of the lame man and the blind man. The Indian culture, they have the India now has become, they still have that wisdom. It's still there, traces. But materially, the weakness is there. But the Western culture, very strong, but no vision. So you take the vision of Eastern culture, and you combine it with the strength of Western culture, then the whole world can be turned into a paradise. This is our Krishna conscious mission. We want to make the whole world into a paradise, you see. We don't deny the assets. Prabhupada never denied the assets, you see. It's like the microphone's Western invention. So if you can use that for propagating Vedic wisdom, you see, then it should be used. With my voice I can speak a little, but I get more power by the microphone. So why not use the microphone? Anything that can be used in Krishna's service, it's a mistake to give it up, Prabhupada explains. So we take whatever is there, whatever facility is given, and we use everything for Krishna. This is proper understanding of renunciation. To use everything for Krishna. Some people have an artificial conception of renunciation. This world is false, therefore I renounce it. Artificial conception. If somebody comes to the bank and they say, "Oh, I renounce this bank." Is that a sane person? No. It's not his bank to renounce. Another person comes in with a gun, "Oh, I will rob the bank." He is criminal, you see. So one man, he's like the person who wants to enjoy the material world. He's a criminal. He's trying to take the property of Bhagavan and use it for his own sense gratification. He's a thief. And the other one who wants to artificially renounce, he's a madman, you see. So the proper utilization is to take this material world and engage it in the service of Krishna. That's a very simple thing. It's all the property of Krishna, so therefore it should all be used for Krishna. Many years ago, when our movement first started, there was one business. After a few years, the devotees started one business, Spiritual Sky Incense. It was the biggest incense company in the U.S. It was so successful, the Wall Street Journal did an article on it. They came in and interviewed the devotees. The Wall Street Journal, it was that successful a business. The first big incense company in the U.S. was Spiritual Sky Incense, run by the devotees. So some devotees said, "Oh, this is, you know, they're packing incense, they're selling it, they're going out like salesmen. This is Maya," some devotees said. Prabhupada said, "Anything that can make $1 million a year for Krishna is not Maya." You see. So Prabhupada did not accept this artificial renunciation idea. If you can use something for Krishna, use it. That's all. This is proper understanding. If you can take something and utilize it to push forward the Krishna consciousness movement successfully, then do it. Whatever talents, whatever abilities you have, utilize them all in Krishna's service. This is Krishna consciousness. We want to see that everyone should become happy in Krishna consciousness. The world is suffering like anything because their whole culture is based on sense gratification. The thing is falling apart. It doesn't work. It's an artificial basis for the society. It doesn't bring true unity. They talk about government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But actually, the people are not getting the benefit. Real government means that which brings you out of the cycle of birth and death. Then you have a good government. If the government is not seeing that its citizens are becoming liberated from birth and death, then those leaders should step down. This is stated in the Bhagavatam. Unless the guru can deliver his disciples, unless the husband can deliver the wife, unless the wife can deliver the kids, unless the government leader can deliver his dependents, they should give up that position. We're calling on all leaders to either become Krishna conscious or step down from your position. You don't belong there. Those who are actually competent to teach Krishna consciousness as it is, as Prabhupada is giving it, who have learned Prabhupada's teachings, and who are purely presenting Srila Prabhupada's teachings, those are the qualified leaders on this planet. Nobody else. Nobody else is qualified to run governments, to run companies, to teach in the universities or whatever it may be. No one is qualified to be in leadership positions except for those people who have understood and who are purely presenting the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. So we have some questions that have come in. Let's see what we got here. Now, Vikrasura could remember his past life as King Chitraketu. King Bharat could remember his previous life, even the body of a deer, which motivates one to engage in spiritual activities. What about us who can remember our past lives? Well, just be thankful you don't remember them. That's all I can say. After the 9/11 attacks in the U.S., some of the people in the building and survived, who got out of the building, you see, but saw all that devastation, they suffered from what's called post-trauma. What is it? Post-trauma stress disorder, I think is the name for it. It's a psychological condition. You go through some horrible thing and you survive, but you're haunted by bad nightmares. You wake up in the middle of the night and you're in the middle of the night and all of a sudden the plane is crashing into the building and everything's collapsing around you. They go through these flashbacks, you see. Post-trauma stress disorder. It's a psychological disease that psychiatrists try to treat, you see. So if you were to remember your past lives, you would be suffering from post-trauma stress disorder. Just be happy, thankful you don't remember your past lives. When you're a snake, you got run over, you know, or whatever you were in the previous. Just be glad you don't remember them. That's all I can say. That's all they all remember. There's people want to remember, what was my last life? Maybe I was Napoleon, or maybe I was, you know, George Washington. Maybe I was Mahatma Gandhi. People like to think big, you know, they dream, you know. Don't be foolish like them. Just be glad you don't remember. Just be thankful you don't remember your past lives. Getting second initiation, even in ISKCON, is no guarantee one will develop brahminical qualities. That's absolutely true. The thread doesn't mean now you're a Brahmin. It's just like when Satsang Maharaj saw me right after the initiation ceremony and I got my Brahmin thread in Atlanta in 1975. It was glorious. I mean, Prabhupada personally put the thread over my body. It was really glorious. But he said, now you're a Brahmin, now be a Brahmin, you see. Being designated as a Brahmin with a thread, of course the ladies are more advanced, they don't need the thread. But we men, we require a little recognition. We're not as advanced as the ladies. Prabhupada said that about why the ladies don't get the threads. They're more high level Brahmins. They don't require the thread. The men are low level, they require the thread. So we have to actually be Brahmins, that's the point. You have to manifest those qualities. Can you please elaborate on the advantages of Kali Yuga versus other yugas? The advantage is it's much easier to become Krishna conscious in this age. In the Satya Yuga, you would have to do mystic yoga for 100,000 years to realize God. In the Treta Yuga, all kinds of sacrificial ceremonies. In the Dwarpa Yuga, elaborate, very, very elaborate deity worship, which is not practical in this age. But in this age, simply by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, one can achieve all perfection of life. Many devotees are aspiring to get Brahman initiation only to do deity worship and not to engage in other services as preaching, book distribution, etc. What would be your advice? Go out on book distribution. That's the quickest way to become qualified as a Brahman. Brahman means one who knows what is Brahman, who lives what is Brahman, and who teaches what is Brahman. So you want to be really a Brahman, go on book distribution as much as possible. That will make you a Brahman very quickly. Was Sringi punished for his act? Well, we just read here that he was excused. What is the significance of the boat festival? Pretty blissful. Is Mayapur a replica of Vrindavan? Yes. Okay. During a death ceremony, the ritualistic priest would say that the deceased person has gone to Shiva Loka. Good luck. This is very common here. This is called idiocy. Like the Christians always say, oh, they went to heaven. It's the same thing, you know. Like I grew up in the Christian country. Yeah, they went to heaven, you know. But, you know, my Christians, after church on Sunday, they like to go to McDonald's or some place like Luby's Cafeteria to have meat, you see. Or they go home and have a meat dinner at home, a big dinner, the Sunday dinner. So that means they're not qualified to go back to Godhead. Anybody who's engaged in sinful activities most likely become an animal in their next life, down to the animal kingdom. Those who engage in the life of sense gratification will take birth as animals in their next lives. So mostly people now, it's so gross sense gratification going on everywhere, in every country, Mauritius, everywhere. Mostly people are going down to the animal kingdom. That's where they're going. That's the reality. How to enlighten the priest? Well, he's getting a livelihood, isn't there? Some income from this business. It's very difficult to enlighten such a person. Can Brahman initiation be given to any devotee? Every devotee every devotee is meant to get Brahman initiation. That's Prabhupada's system. When I joined ISKCON, 6 months after first initiation, second initiation, that was the standard. My temple president was hard on me. I had to wait a few years. He was being tough with me. But everyone got Brahman. That was the standard. Everybody got Brahman initiation. That was the standard thing. That was when Prabhupada was here. That was the standard. Everyone gets Brahman. That means everyone has to become qualified to do deity worship, to preach. Everyone should develop those qualities. It's not just some devotees. No, this is a Brahman movement. We are creating a class of Brahmins. So every devotee should become qualified to do puja and to do preaching work. Every devotee should become qualified. If he's not engaged in the mission, should be given second initiation. Every devotee should be engaged in this mission. Prabhupada gives the example of Indian railways. They used to have a flyer that said, It's the duty of every employee of Indian Railways to see that the wheel on the train is turning. So one employee, he's the engineer, he sits in the engine, pulls the throttle to make the car go out of the station. Another employee sits in the office, he signs one paper that authorizes the train to go out of the station. So both of them are seeing that the wheel on the train is turning. In this way, every single member of ISKCON should see that this movement is going forward. The books are going out, prasadam is being distributed. Every devotee should see that this is going on and do everything he can to be a part of this. Everyone. Everyone's response. We all share a missionary responsibility. This is our family business. Our family business is to save the world. And every member of this movement should be thinking, what can I do to make this movement a success in Mauritius and all over the world? Every devotee should be thinking like that and praying for the mercy. My dear Srila Prabhupada, my dear Guru Maharaj, my dear Lord Chaitanya, please bless me that I can be engaged in such a way that I can be most useful to help this movement become successful. Every devotee should be in a missionary mood. I read somewhere that in Kali Yuga we should not take sannyas. Yes, that's generally true, because sannyasis fall down. They're not qualified. Even in ISKCON, so many sannyasis fell down. It's a very rare thing to take sannyas. Why did Prabhupada give sannyas to his disciples? It was an opportunity to actually become a sannyasi. Actually, a sannyasi is necessary in this society. And there should be a class of sannyasis in ISKCON to inspire everyone that you don't need sex to be happy. All you need is Krishna. The leaders, such as father and mother, must either become Krishna conscious or step down. Does that mean father, mother leaving the family, mother giving up the children? No, it means you become Krishna conscious, you mothers and fathers. Not that you abandon your kids. You should not even have kids, first of all, unless you're Krishna conscious. That means you must practice absolute brahmachari life until you're fixed up enough to deliver your kids from birth and death. Otherwise, don't have sex. Don't have sex at all. But if you're qualified now to train your children how to become devotees, then you can have some kids. Otherwise, you should not have children. Unless you're qualified, deliver your children. Otherwise, you're producing cats and dogs. You're not producing human beings. Simply producing cats and dogs. Sorry if I'm being too heavy, but I got to speak the truth. It's my duty. I'm sitting on the Vyasasan. I have to represent Prabhupada's teachings as they are. I'm sorry if it's too heavy. It's blowing you away. I have to do that. It's my duty. Nowadays, we see corruption and maladministration at the level of government where top officials are involved. That's the name of the game in the Kali Yuga. They're all cheaters and rascals. These leaders are all cheaters and rascals. The general population feels that if we have all powers in the hands of the government, that if we leave all powers in the hands of the government, corruption will not be checked and may even increase in the case of an autocratic regime. What is your opinion? Yeah, true. Unless you bring Krishna conscious leadership, it's never going to be pure. It's always going to be corrupt. Always will be corrupt. Explain the position of Srimati Tulsi Devi in relation with Srimati Radharani. They're all, she's a pure devotee, Radharani is a pure devotee, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Today's purport, the father prayed to the Lord to forgive his son. Why not the son was trained to beg forgiveness from Maharaj Pariksha, the Lord's devotee? You can ask Samika Rishi about that. Last night you questioned that someone is trying to get initiated but has false ego and hates someone. What would be the result of such a person? Well, if you're full of false ego and you're in hate, you're not qualified for initiation yet. A devotee means compassionate. He has loving. He wants to be kind to everyone. If you're having hate in your heart towards someone, you're not ready for initiation yet. A devotee can't have hate in his heart. He's not a devotee. A devotee is full of love. He loves everyone, even his enemies. We do have enemies sometimes. A devotee even loves his enemies. He's the well-wisher of even his enemies. Is it true that if we don't keep a Sikh, our devotional service has no value? Not necessarily. But one should always have a Sikh if at all possible. That's our standard. Anything else? Is everybody satisfied? Any complaints? Have I deviated from Prabhupada's teachings in any way? Let me know. Have I deviated from Vaishnava Siddhanta? Or have I presented it as it is? Prabhupada says if we present it as it is, we will conquer the world. So you all tell me if I deviated from the Siddhanta. Yeah.
That last question.
Yeah. What's the question?
The question is this, that what would be like result of that?
What is the result of hating someone?
No, not hating somebody. What will be the result of that aspiring person?
If he takes initiation, he's full of hate? If someone's aspiring for initiation and they're full of hate for someone,
yes.
What's the result of that?
Yes.
They're not qualified yet for initiation, that's all. That means they're not a devotee, because a devotee is kind. Now the spiritual master may be merciful to that person. Think, okay, even though he's full of hate, and he... let me be merciful and bring him into the program and see if I can help him get free from hate. You see, the guru may do that. But he has a burden on the spiritual master. You have a disciple that's full of hate. He takes sinful reactions from his disciples. It's initiation. Their karma has to go through him. You understand? Spiritual master sometimes suffers these physical injury or sickness because of the sins of his disciples. So taking on a person who is inclined to be sinful is a very big risk for the spiritual master.
Such a person.
Yeah?
Can be qualified for initiation.
Can be what? Spiritual master can be kind and think, all right, let me take this rascal and rectify him. Spiritual master can do that. There's a burden for the spiritual master. Wait for the sirens to go now. I can't hear you.
But can such a come from compassion?
Wait for the sirens. I can't hear you. Okay. One can abuse initiation to become puffed up. It's a thing. Oh yes, now I'm initiated.
So what good about that compassion?
What's good is the compassion? It depends. It depends if the spiritual master can rectify that rascal, then the compassion was very good. And even if he wasn't successful, at least he was sincerely trying to rectify that rascal. You see? So it's still very good. Compassion is always very good, even if the result may not be good. Compassion itself is always very good. Krishna is pleased by the, but at the same time we have to be intelligent. Sincerity is there, but Prabhupada said one has to also be intelligent. Spiritual master has to be intelligent to see who's actually qualified to take properly to this process. Is it? The person has some hate, but he's submissive, then that's okay. Because then if he's submissive, then the spiritual master can cleanse him of that hateful tendency. You see? Submissiveness, if he's submissive, but he has some residual hate in his heart, but that by that submissiveness, the spiritual master can rectify him from that hateful tendency. If he's submissive, then it's okay. He's submissive to the spiritual master, truly submissive.
Wouldn't it be that someone is submissive will be acting before even initiation?
Someone is submissive, they'll be submissive before initiation also. And they can be rectified of that hateful tendency even before initiation. Is it? Not that I'm a complete rebel and I'll submit when you give me, I won't submit to you unless you give me diksha. But the first thing is shelter. Shelter means you don't have diksha, but you're surrendered. You see? The first step is shelter, given by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar Devotion. You can read. The very first step is shelter. That means you're surrendering to the spiritual master, but you don't have initiation yet. It's not that, well, I'll surrender if you give me initiation. No, first I surrender. I take shelter of you. You see? And then the spiritual master says, oh, he's furious. He's actually taking shelter of me. He's following my instructions. He's submissive. He's obedient. Okay, now, initiation. You see? It's the second step is initiation.
If that submissiveness is there, then why wouldn't it happen before?
Why wouldn't he get free from hate beforehand? Yes. He will. If he's actually sincere and he's actually submissive, even at the stage of shelter, the hate will go away before initiation. That's a fact. The hate will go away before initiation. And if it's not going away, that means he hasn't really taken shelter of the spiritual master. He's still taking shelter of his own mind. Mano retainer, the chariot of the. He's still going on a trip on the airplane of the mind. You see. So don't be a take. Don't take a trip on the airplane of the mind. Get off of the mental airplane and come to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. That is Krishna consciousness. You see. Get off the mental airplane. The mental airplane will keep you caught up in this material world. Don't fly mono airways any longer. Get off that airplane. Take shelter of the Vaikuntha airplane, which is the words coming from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master. That is the Vaikuntha airplane. Take that airplane, not your mental airplane, sir. If they come and they go away, they never really took Krishna consciousness. They were still hovering on the mental platform. It was superficial. Anyone who actually takes to this process, they will never leave it, not in all of eternity. Anyone who actually surrenders to Krishna will taste such happiness, such joy, such relief. They would never dream of ever leaving Krishna consciousness. Those who come and go, they never really took it. It was superficial.
So how one can gauge the compassion of the spiritual master?
Take it gratefully.
No, those who come and go away. Get initiated and go away.
You have to be sincere, really. You have to be sincere. Not coming for name and fame. You have to, you see. Of course we do. In the beginning, we're covered by, you know, Krishna talks about there's four kinds of things. Some desire wealth, Some desire relief from material distress. Some desire this, some desire that. We have material desires in the beginning. That is unavoidable, because we're full of material desires. But when you come and you hear the teachings of Prabhupada, you should get some higher understanding from that hearing of Prabhupada's teachings. I don't need any of this stuff. All I need is bhakti. That's all I need. I don't need a position. I don't need name and fame. I don't need money. I don't need sex. I don't need any of this garbage. All I need is Krishna. One should come to that understanding. And that will make one very chaste and pure in one's heart and enable one to fully take this process like a duck takes to the water. It becomes a very natural thing, not artificial. So here's another one. What are the hints that will tell us that we have taken Krishna consciousness superficially or not? Namaruchi. Nama Ruchi, a taste for the name. That's when you know you're on the right track. If the name is sweet, 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 Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. When the name is sweet, then you know you're getting on the right track. If the name is bitter, you're not on the right track. You gotta come to a state where the name is the sweetest thing in the whole existence. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Is it? You have to, that's the key. Then you can know you're actually coming out of the cloud of Maya when the name starts to become juicy. There's preliminary ruchi also. There's the stage called nama ruchi. See, but even before that, there's preliminary ruchi as well. It's like even we have these, many people get taste from the kirtan, you see. And they're not even initiated. So there's the preliminary ruchi is there. But even japa becomes tasteful, you see. You don't need some fancy, you know, boom, 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 or, you know, just the name itself. You sitting down with your japa beads and Hare Krishna, when that becomes sweet, then you know you're on the right track. Then you know you're coming out of the cloud of Maya. Okay? So we thank you all for coming today. We have a small turnout, so every one of you is very, very precious, especially when there's a small turnout. Every one of you is very, very precious. So we thank you, all of you, for being here today, and we'll meet again tomorrow. We'll dive deeper into the ocean of Krishna Bhakti. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.
His Grace Srimad Sangharshan Das Adhikari Maharaj ki jai.